Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris, what is this that we're listening to?
That is the Ventures with the theme song to Hawaii 5-0 and the Grizzlies 5-0 record since John Morant went down.
Well, plus we got the Hawaii Bowl coming up, too. It really all fits together. Did you ever watch Hawaii 5-0?
I mean, I've seen it, but I didn't watch it. I feel like it was off the air by the time I was watching TV. It was probably in reruns.
Yeah. So before I get to the Grizzlies, what would you think of a giant-ass Ferris wheel downtown on the riverfront?
I would never, ever get on it because Ferris wheels are terrifying. The history of Ferris wheels is interesting. If you ever read The Devil in the White City, a book about the Chicago World's Fair and partly about the invention of the Ferris wheel, that's a good read. So, give me a Ferris wheel.
What's the history of? Give us in a thumbnail. Is there a history to Ferris wheels?
It was created for the Chicago World's Fair and whatever year. I'm making up a year, 1904 or whatever, but something like that. And it was sort of created just out of thin air for that World's Fair, that built a lot of, you know, the city, really, that still stands today. If you go to Museum of Science and Industry and all that, it's still like in buildings built for that World's Fair. But anyway, that's a good read.
No
Ferris wheel.
There's no Ferris wheel in Chicago now, is there? That's part of the riverfront or anything, is it? There's one in London.
I don't think you would want to get on the Ferris wheel that was built in 1904. That'd be a bad move.
No, but they could have refurbished the Zip and Pippin still carrying people around. Well, hold on then. If you don't like Ferris wheels, are you anti all rides? Did you used to ride the Zip and Pippin, or is that also before your time?
Oh, I did used to ride the Zip and Pippin. I'm pretty much anti-ride now, but that's because I'm old and I don't need that anymore.
Right.
But I wasn't like, you know, lifelong anti-ride or anything. I love the Zip and Pippin. It's the Ferris wheel specifically. It's getting that high up and then stopping. That's not good with me.
Yeah, I'm anti-ride now. I mean, whatever.
I'm not anti-ride for other people. I'm just not doing it.
Right. I'm not doing it. I'm not anti-ride. Like, there's a ride at Disney that I went on, what it's called, To Fly or something like that, whatever, the one I went on with my mom when we were there last.
Soarin' Florida.
But it goes 15 feet off the ground, and it just sort of rocks you back and forth as there's a big screen. There is literally, if things go horribly wrong, you're not going to die.
This is actually what I'm most opposed to, maybe even more than a Ferris wheel,
okay,
is rides that aren't really rides. Rides that are indoors in front of a screen that are simulating motion. I did that with my son at the Harry Potter World or Universal Studios or whatever. It was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Because you physically react to it?
The whole thing, the whole like no fresh air and like illusion of motion that's not really happening. And it felt like a torture device to me, not a fun experience.
I don't like the ones. The last real ride I did go on at the fair, the one since it's moved out of downtown, the one that moved out of the Egger Center, that fair, is that the Mid-South Fair now? What do they call that
Delta Fair.
The Delta Fair. I did go on a roller coaster with one of my kids, and that was like never again. No, I just, I can't stand it. I think a Ferris wheel I could manage. All right, but as a, you don't want to get on it. As a attraction and an enhancement to our downtown. Now they're talking about making Wolf River. The little whatever it's called there. The
reservoir.
They're trying to make it a lake. They're talking about making that a lake and planting a Ferris wheel down there. What do you think?
I've heard worse ideas. I'm not dismissive of that as something that might work.
Right.
I think it's not a bad spot for a Ferris wheel. Like if you want to be on one to go up and you can see the city and see the water and if you're going to put a Ferris wheel in Memphis, that's probably where you want to put it.
Yes. Visually, it would be great. Like in terms of what you see from the top of the Ferris wheel and how it would look on the river, I think it would look great. I don't have any idea what the economics of whether it would draw people or be a diversion or anything else. I have no concept of that. I will say it's interesting because when I was just looking at some next door post, when this comes out yesterday that they're looking into these further enhancements of the riverfront, there is some instinctive mocking and rolling of the eyes in this city of, oh my God, we've been working on this riverfront forever. Now it's a Ferris wheel.
Oh, I've written about this before. We have a strong reflex to say no to things.
Yeah. And also to assume that it's going to be crap.
Right.
Or why don't we do X first, right? Or whatever else. And it does not seem to me productive. That's all. It does not seem to me to be productive. So I'm going to be pro Ferris wheel. All right. Onward, the rampaging Memphis Grizzlies now 5-0, and the schedule still played a part of the 5-0, but last night at Miami, decided underdogs, no Bam Adebayo, but Jimmy Butler played, they win again. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it is a similar script that we've been seeing. I mean, no Bam. And Butler played, but he was coming off the injury, and then he re-aggravated it and kept playing. I don't think he was 100% at all. But still, you're without Ja Morant, you're on the road, you're in Miami. Bam didn't play in the game in Memphis, by the way, where Miami won by 30 or whatever. And so they have gotten in a really good groove defensively, and they've been helped by playing teams who are missing one or more of their best players every game. And that's a good combination if you're trying to win basketball games. And so, you know, it's easy to lose games when guys aren't playing their best players. I don't assume it continues indefinitely, but they're going to play Dallas again. And, like, I don't know whether Luka will play or not, but Dallas hasn't been that great. And, like, you know, I see no reason that good defense can't continue. And good defense can put you in position to win basketball games. And then they're getting good play from Bane, Brooks, Jaren. That wasn't Jaren's best game offensively last night, obviously, 6-16. But, like, on the whole, across these five games, like, those three guys have all stepped up and been really good.
It's interesting. They've won five in a row, and you were like, okay, they're not going to go wire-to-wire against the Heat. And I guess technically they didn't because wire-to-wire means not even tied, and they were tied at two. But they never trailed against the Heat. So now it's Dallas and then the Lakers with LeBron, we think, and then Houston. I don't know. I bet they will be favored in all three games. Yes?
Probably, unless, like, just the Lakers, the residual Lakers reputation, like, changes that. But I mean, certainly, those are all winnable games.
In the list of good things that have happened with the Grizzlies this year, where do you put Desmond Bane's play? And is he a starter on a – obviously, it depends. Like, you can have starters on a championship team if you surround them with three all-stars who aren't, who aren't particularly good. But what is Desmond Bane becoming as a NBA player?
Oh, I think he is absolutely a starting-caliber player. I'm not convinced he is ever an all-star level player, but I think could he be a starting player who's like a 20-point a game scorer? Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to be like a 28-point a game scorer, and I don't think the other parts of his game are going to be such that turns a 20-point a game scorer into an all-star, right? But you know, he compared himself early on to Eric Gordon and Joe Harris, which are pretty good comps. And I would say he, you know, those guys have been quality starters in their career. And I think Bane has become one this season. And so, you know, I don't see, you know, huge upside beyond the way he's played this season. I think the way he's played this season is a quality starter. And I think he can be that for, you know, most of the rest of his career. It's only through his prime.
And Dylan Brooks?
I mean, Dylan's a quality starter too. I don't, you know, I mean, there's still an issue with volume versus efficiency with Dylan. And even this season, there's been that, like, you know, in terms of how much he shoots versus how many he makes is a little bit of an issue over the course of as games pile up. But the positives so far outweigh the negatives with him in terms of his defensive impact and in terms of being able to contribute on both ends of the floor. And so, you know, I think Bane and Brooks are both quality starting wings. I don't think either, I doubt either of them ever plays in an All-Star game, but like, so what?
It's, I mean, it's interesting because what we've seen is that the Grizzlies, and you from the beginning of the season have pointed out that Dallas's roster outside of Luka is pretty damn flimsy. And, and now we're seeing it. Without Luka, they're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. And the Grizzlies, you know, part of what they've done right is find these players. I mean, Dylan's second round, Bane, you know, mid to late first round. I don't know. Like, right now, if you had to call it, who finishes, assuming good health, fundamental good health on the part of these, or continuation, you're going to get Luka back, you're going to get Ja back, no cataclysmic injuries. Who do you like better, Dallas or Memphis?
I think the Grizzlies have a very good chance, and I would put it above 50% to win their first division title in franchise history.
Yeah. Okay, looking around the rest of the league, Dame Lillard said he would like to play with Ben Simmons, and I think he meant in Portland. He wasn't saying
right.
he was not indicating in Philadelphia. It's interesting to me because I just went through this. I'm a fan of the Buffalo Sabres, and they had a player sitting out named Jack Eichel, and everyone wanted the Sabres, like the assuming immediate. There was this pounding, just trade him already. Like, get what you get. You got to realize you're not going to get a huge package for him. Go ahead and accept less. It seemed to be the sort of general feeling from the as I read about this outside of Buffalo. And even within Buffalo, honestly. Come on, you're never going to get full value. Get what you can get. And I'm sort of starting to read that about the Sixers and Ben Simmons. And some of it's sympathy with Ben Simmons. They don't like to see him, you know, sitting on the sidelines, wasting his career. Maybe it's some of it's just accepting reality, which Daryl Morey doesn't seem to be willing to do. But would you, if you were the Sixers, accept some combination of CJ McCollum and other stuff for Ben Simmons at this point?
Probably so. I think Simmons for McCollum has been the most obvious trade in the NBA since last summer. Philadelphia, the tricky situation, obviously, is that Philadelphia wants better. And if they see, you know, if they see a Portland situation cracking up, CJ McCollum's not who they want. Damian Lillard is who they want. And that's sort of the tricky dance between these two. There are deals to be made between Philly and Portland, but there are multiple kinds of deals, and the two teams want different kinds. And you know, I don't know who blinks first on that. If I'm Portland, what I want to do is trade CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons, because you open up a longer window to try to make it work with Damian Lillard. And if it doesn't work, you can still trade Damian Lillard. And Ben Simmons is like 24, and like it doesn't preclude a rebuild later if the reroute doesn't work. For Philly, McCollum is going to make you better because Simmons is not playing for you at all. But it does close off the idea of something better. And I just don't know if Philly – I don't know if Philly is going to relent on something like that until you basically run out of time, which would be at the trade deadline.
Are there – as we're bearing down on the time when some trades may be happening, are there trades that intrigue you? I saw a list of hypothetical deals the other day. I think it was at ESPN. And they had – Sabonis going to the Warriors for a collection of their young talent. Are there trade possibilities that intrigue you as we go forward this NBA season?
Well, the trades that have been in my head this week are the Pau Gasol and Zach Randolph trades. So my head is not totally, which I've been doing memory lane about and trying to write about today. So my head's not totally into like made up trades in the current NBA. I do think Golden State is a team that I think there's going to be a lot of, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but a lot of impetus to try to make a win now trade, especially if they can do that without parting with, say, Jonathan Kuminga, who they seem to think is the highest upside of their young players. You know, they got these three recent lottery picks in Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody.
Right.
And so if they could keep one of them, and I think Kuminga is the one they would want to keep, and, you know, would they be willing to move the other two with some contract where a player can help compete for a title now? I think they should, yeah. So I could definitely see something like that happening. And I think Sabonis is a player who would make a lot of sense for them. I mean, Indiana's been a team much like Philly and Portland where the birds have been circling for a long, long, long time in terms of some kind of trade and the idea of breaking up their front court pairing of Sabonis and Miles Turner, who have been playing together for years without really fitting all that well.
All right, and when should we expect the Zach Randolph piece to drop over the Daily Memphian?
I'm finishing it today, but I think they're going to hold it for Thursday.
Okay. Once again, people, tonight at 7 o'clock, the 54 Da City documentary drops. It will be available on YouTube, and I highly recommend it. Chris Harrington, really, it's his breakout performance. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.